Amen. Yes. Listen. That's how I play it. It is not a problem. Yeah. It's a Sunday to remember. That's all. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Thank God for the Bible. Thank the Lord we have a Bible. In times like these, the old song says we need a Savior, but in times like these, we need a Bible. That's in the song too. And it's such a blessing to be able to look at what's going on in the world and then come back to what the Scripture says. Whenever you touch prophecy in any way, there's a lot of different ways to interpret prophecy. I believe, the position of the church is that we believe the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period. Some believe that the rapture is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation. Some believe the rapture is going to take place at the end of the tribulation. Let me just say this, the rapture is going to take place. Amen. And we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's in Thessalonians chapter 4. But I want to look at something today because of the circumstances of our world, and we'll probably see some things pop out. In the short amount of time I have, 2.5 hours, spiritual people love 2.5 hours. Anyway, just kidding. But in a short time, there's no way to show everything about each different point. But I trust that as we go through the Scripture today, it will challenge us to live for God, to look for His coming, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll begin in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 3. And if you're familiar with Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, we have the seven churches spoken to. The first one is Ephesus, and then it comes down, and the last one is Laodicea. These are literal local churches, but they also picture, which prophecy does and the Scripture does many, many times, it will take one circumstance and one event, and it will project something. And this is talking about, I believe, church ages. And in each one, you can see that if you study that out, I believe. But I believe we're in the last church age, the Laodicean church age, and we will read about that. Verse 13, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Anytime the Bible is read or preached or taught, the Spirit really makes it work. Amen. Because we can be dull of hearing, our eyes can be blinded, sometimes we stop our ears, but when the Spirit has His way, there's liberty, and He brings that word to fruition. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's quite a pointed scripture. And it's talking about indifference. It's talking about apathy, where we're not on fire, we're not cold, we're just kind of in the middle. And of course, the Lord says what He will do there. And then He says, but because thou sayest, this is man's opinion, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, this is God's opinion, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's two points of view there. Might I say that God is always right? Amen. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That phrase there, that verse, is repeated after each one of the seven churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So tonight, or today, I would admonish you to do that. I'm going to say a lot of things. I'm going to read a lot of verses, maybe tell some illustrations and stories. But try and let God speak to your heart today. It would be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that you would minister to us. You would help us, encourage us, strengthen us. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for the word of God. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, I mentioned this verse last week. It says, remember those that are in bonds as being bound with them. And in the Bible, God's always telling us to remember certain things. You know, I'm on my way to the store. My wife says, now remember to pick this up too. And I forget. And that's no big deal because I can always call her, right? And some things that we are told to remember, whether on the job or just in life, they're not real important. When God says remember something, it's worth remembering. Amen? And it's so important. It's part of his plan, how he uses people. So he tells us to remember those that are in bonds as being bound with them. But there's an identification there. I remember those in bonds as being bound with them. There's a principle there. The same verse says, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. We're all part of that body. So when one member suffers, another member suffers. That's found in 1 Corinthians 12:26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's called the fellowship of believers. We have a fellowship with Christ, so we're all part of that body. Christ is the head, and then we make up that body. Apathy is when you lack motivation to do anything, or just don't care about what is going on around you. Just don't care. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Why would God tell us to do that? It's one of the one another verses. Have compassion one of another. I think there's a good reason for it. It's because there's a cause, and God is trying to use all of the believers in the world to promote the gospel. Amen? That more people might be saved, that more people might be in heaven. And I think it's important because there's a trial going on and there's a battle going on. Hebrews 10:34. For ye had, Paul writes, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Now, why was he rejoicing in that? Because they had compassion on him in his trial, and they met the need of that trial. And what was Paul's trial? Well, he's just trying to preach the gospel. So he wanted to have liberty that gospel would go everywhere. In Esther, in the Old Testament, Queen Esther, she said, because she was a Jew, she said, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She was the queen. That wasn't going to touch her. But she was the queen, but those were her people. And she said, how can I see the destruction of my people? How can I look at that? This might be a little irrelevant, but if I'm watching TV and I see all the dogs that are suffering, I don't know if you've ever seen that picture, I change it. I don't want to look at it. I mean, your heart just aches for that. But now that the Ukraine is being invaded, you see that and it helps you to pray. I guess it helps you to pray for the dogs too, but isn't it much more important about those souls of men? And that ought to really grab our hearts so that we might identify with that. I think that's important. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, Joab and Abishai, they're brothers, they are fighting a battle against the enemies of Israel. And this is what Joab says to his brother Abishai. in verse 11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. They were brothers. They were brothers. So the battle was both of the, if my brother is in battle, then I'm going to help him. If I'm in battle, then my brother's going to help me. And I know that. Somebody has my back. Somebody is beseeching the throne of God in my stead. Somebody is looking to meet my need, whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical. In verse 12, the very next verse, here's the reason for that. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. They were going to fight and they were going to oppose the enemy for the cities of their people, for their people. That's exactly what's going on in the Ukraine right now. There's people, the nationals, and they are fighting to deliver their city. Boy, you can just see the bravery. You can see. It doesn't mean there's no fear. Bravery is doing what's right in the midst of fear. And they want their country to be free. I think that's amazing. The brothers took care of each other so they could take care of their people. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says about Esther, thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I remember when God brought me here. You know, my life, I'm getting up there. I'm 41 now. And, you know, around there, just a little bit over that maybe. But I've been preaching for a number of time in different churches. And I see, sometimes in hindsight, better than foresight. But you know God is doing something, and you do what God wants you to do. And that's the important thing. Amen? And there's some verses back in Exodus. It's interesting. Moses was sent to be the deliverer, and when he came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to obey that. And so it comes down where the people are murmuring, and it just doesn't look good. And in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 5, it says, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people, neither hast thou delivered thy people. Moses came to the place where he said, what in the world am I doing here? What did you send me here for? But the very next chapter, chapter 6, you have the seven I wills of God. And many, many times there's a trial, but you come back to hearing what God says, and then you see that trial removed, or at least grace to go through the trial, or comfort in the midst of the trial. Here's what God says. It says in verse 2, God spake to Moses. He said, I am the Lord. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses was looking at certain circumstances. God comes along with his word, and then every promise of God is yea and amen. It's impossible for God to lie. So whenever God says, this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. Amen? And God can give us grace and strength and even joy in all our tribulations. He can do that for us. And one day he's going to take us all to heaven, because that's what he promised. And that's when you get into prophecy, you see a lot of that. Amen? You look at the condition in the world, and if you just look at the condition in the world, you go, what is going on? But we have to look beyond that. We have to look to the Word of God and what He has to say. And when we do that, we are comforted. And there's a real blessing in that. God has brought everybody here for a purpose. Your life has a purpose, and that is to be a help to other Christians, be a witness to the lost. But for other Christians, we are a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who we are. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that the church is compared to a body. The head is Christ, obviously, but there are eyes, ears, nose, fingers, you know, feet, and we all, the body all works together. But it says, God hath put us into the body as it hath pleased him, so that the body can function together. And what do we do that for? For the cause of Christ. Amen? There's a lot in the church. We've taught on the church, and there's a lot to that. But these are serious times. Very, very serious times. I don't think we're ready for World War III. I don't think that from the scripture. But, you know, there could be all kinds of wars and rumors of wars. You know, you get that. I don't know what's going to happen in the immediate future. I just know what's going to happen in down the road a little bit. And so I believe those promises. And boy, what a blessing. But these are serious times. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. But it says this, knowing the time. If we know what time it is, we know how to respond to that. Amen? And so we look around us and we say, man, this is really bad. Okay, what does God want us to do if we know the time? 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, watch the rest of the verse, to know what Israel ought to do. They had an understanding of the times so they could tell the nation what they needed to do. They understood the times. And politics, no matter who's in the White House, not everybody understands everything that's going on. God understands. Amen? And sometimes a Christian has more insight than anybody that's studied anything. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in perilous perilous times shall come. This know also. And what's in those perilous times? It's like a broken record. But it's good for us to look at this, because evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. The Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. If we understand the times, if we know what time it is, then we'll be able to identify it. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. And you could take each one of those points and you could see that in the world. Well, that's always been there, yes, but it seems like it's being magnified. And I won't take the time to go into all of that. But it says, knowing the time. It says, to know what Israel might do, you need understanding of the times. This know also. I think that's important for us to know. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church and the believers at Thessalonica about the Lord. The Lord's return. And he says in chapter 5 and verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so Paul is saying, you know perfectly some things about the second coming. I think it's important to know some things about the second coming. Amen? And so you can see what's happening and unfolding. In prophecy, the prophecy of Daniel is important to understand the prophecy in the book of Revelation. You really don't understand Revelation unless you understand Daniel. And so God puts those two books together. I taught in Sunday school, I taught the book of Revelation for several months. And we went through every chapter. And we always went back and pulled something out of the book of Daniel. But in Daniel chapter 9, and I'm just going to give an overview because this can get real weighty. But in Daniel chapter 9, there's 70 weeks that are determined on Israel. It's just for the nation of Israel, 70 weeks. And each week represents a year. And the 70 weeks is 490 years. That has to do with Israel. After 483 years, there's a little waiting period. That's the church age. That's the age of grace. The last 7 years that make up the 70 years has to do with Israel. That's the tribulation period. So you have to the cross, you have the church, then you have the church being raptured out, and the clock starts ticking again on Israel for that last 7 years. I know it gets a little weighty, but the church is not going to be in the tribulation, I believe. You have chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. It's talking about the church ages. The last church age, last part of chapter 3, the Laodicean church. You come to chapter 4, verse 1, a door in heaven opens and somebody goes up. Revelation chapter 19, a door in heaven opens and somebody comes down. In between is the tribulation period. And what's going on there? The church isn't mentioned. It all has to do with what's going on with Israel. And again, we studied that for several months. So you have that going on. But understanding the times, we are in a church age. We are waiting for the rapture, which could come at any moment. Amen? Any moment we could be raptured out of here. When we are, then that tribulation period starts. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, Daniel says this prophetically, a time and times, right? And the dividing of time, that's 3.5. I can't do that with my finger, okay? That's Daniel 7:25. Revelation 12:14, a time and times and half a time, that's 3.5. Something's going to happen 3.5 years after the tribulation starts. Something in the middle of the tribulation, because the 3.5 is in the middle of 7. Okay? Again, we're the church. We're waiting for the rapture. When the rapture takes place, the tribulation period starts. The tribulation period is 7 years. You have Daniel 9:27 about the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene and make a peace treaty. A lot involved in that. And that's a 7-year peace treaty. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. In the midst of the week, the midst of 7 is 3.5. So something happens in the middle of that 7-year peace treaty. In Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, we just read it, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. God wants you to understand this. God wants you to have an understanding of this time. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In the middle of the last week of Daniel's prophecy, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, which will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and sit down and say, I'm God. That's what the Bible just told us. In Daniel chapter 9, the Antichrist makes the peace treaty that involves Israel, 7 years. After 3.5 years, he goes into the temple. I wrote a couple things down here in case you don't understand the 3.5 years or you want to see how God thinks this is important. You know, if you repeat something, you want somebody to get it. Amen? You want to make sure they get it. Revelation 11:3, 1,260 days. I wonder what 1,260 days comes to. Oh, 3.5 years. Revelation 12:6, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Those verses are important. We don't have time to go to all of this. Revelation 11:2, 42 months. 42 months, how many years would that be? Oh, I'll bet it's 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5, 42 months. Again, Daniel 7:25, time, times, and half a time. Revelation 12:14, time, times, and half a time. Daniel 9:27, in the midst of the week. God wants you to know that. There's a reason God wants you to know that. I know I'm not going to be here for the tribulation period. Hip, hip, hooray. Amen? I don't even have to worry about that. I don't have to think about it. There's people that won't touch the book of Revelation. Man, I don't want to read Revelation. You can read it. It's a future thing. We're going to be out. Amen? We're going to be with the Lord. Daniel 11, verse 26 or 36, about the Antichrist. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. So when you read this and you find out what this is all about, you say, that is going to be done because the Lord spoke it. A little information on the temple. The first temple, are you understanding any of this? A little bit of it? Okay. Hopefully. The first temple, Solomon's temple, was built during his reign, 970 to 930 BC, and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 586 BC. The temple was reconstructed in 516 BC with significant expansion in 19 BC by Herod. Hence, it was called Herod's temple. The Romans under Titus destroyed the second temple in 70 AD. The Babylonians destroyed the first one. The Romans destroyed the second one. And that was predicted in Ezekiel 21. Moses predicted its destruction and scattering of the Jews in Deuteronomy 28. The Bible predicted the restoration of the Jews to their native land in Ezekiel 36. But the Antichrist is going to go into the temple in Jerusalem in the middle of that peace treaty. He's going to go into the temple. So it has to be rebuilt. Right? You can't go into something that isn't there. So there's a time period where the temple will be rebuilt. Antichrist goes in, he says he's God. Boy, that's when it really gets bad. The last half of that tribulation period. The temple must and will be rebuilt. In Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35, the Bible tells us about the budding of the fig tree. It's speaking about Israel and about Israel becoming a nation. And it says, this generation shall not pass till all shall be fulfilled. Well, Israel became a nation in 1948. Well, how long is a generation? 35 years? Well, we must have missed it. 50? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 90, 70, which is 70, and if by reason of strength 80, which is 80. So a generation, 75, 80. If it's 80... that means before 2028, the Lord will come, if that's what that means. Amen? He's coming. He's coming. I don't know when. He could come today. There was an old-time radio preacher. You might have listened to him in Grand Rapids. He was on the radio every day, M.R. DeHaan. He was a medical doctor, became a preacher. Great. He's got the best book in the world about the chemistry of the blood. Little short book, read it. It's really good. But he said to close his radio broadcast every day, he said, perhaps today. We're just waiting for the Lord to come. So that could happen at any time. We don't have to wait till the temple is rebuilt. John 14, he said he would come again. Let me just say this. The Bible's a scientific book. It talks about the circle of the earth when everybody thought it was flat. It talks about evaporation before people understand that the circuits of the wind, all that's in the Bible. The life of the flesh is in the blood. They used to do bloodletting. That's how they wanted to heal people. The Bible is a scientific book. The Bible is a historical book. History is his story. History, his story. It's an accurate book. Amen? And we don't have time to develop that. It's a practical book. but it's a prophetical book. In Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, in Daniel chapter 2, there is a statue the king of Babylon made, remember? And there is also in chapter 7, four wild beasts. They both speak of the same thing. They speak about coming kingdoms. When Daniel was there, Babylon was in power. And the Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he said, what does this mean? And Daniel said, well, the head of gold is you, king. You're the head of gold. You're in power now. But there's going to come another kingdom, and that's where the arms and this the chest are silver. That's the Medes and the Persians. And then the loins are Greece. And the Greeks are going to take over, and that's made of brass. And then the legs are legs of iron. That speaks of the Romans. This was before the other nations came to power. This is all prophetical. And then the feet are iron mixed with clay. That speaks about the coming revived Roman Empire, which is important to understand in prophecy. Boy, the animals are the same thing. They each represented a different kingdom. Isaiah 44, 28, Isaiah prophesied the fall of Babylon 175 years before it took place. It's interesting. Remember, the Bible's a historical book, too. Isaiah 45, 3, Isaiah prophesied the name of Cyrus, who was the king of the Medes and the Persians, and gave him a name. His name was Cyrus, 100 years before he was born. His name is recorded in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. Last week, we talked about a spiritual battle. We know past prophecy that came to pass now. So we can sink our teeth into that. We can stand on that. It's a solid rock. But whatever prophecy has not been fulfilled yet will be fulfilled. Don't you want to know what it is? Amen. I mean, I want to know. I want to know all this stuff. Okay, what's going to happen? Some things you can't know, but some things you can know because we understand the times, because we know the time, because we're in perilous times. And so God tells us how to respond or to help our brothers and sisters. We are fellow servants, Revelation 6:11. We are fellow helpers, 3 John 1:8. We are fellow soldiers, Philippians 2:25, Philemon verse 2, and on and on and on. And there's a fellowship that we are a part of. So when we know all of this is taking place, there are people that are suffering that need our prayers. And prayer is a weapon we can use against the devil. We can use for good, for God. It's powerful. Amen? Our testimony, our help financially, physically, whatever we can do to help the cause of Christ. Our enemy knows when we're divided. Divide and conquer. No man is an island, right? Everybody needs somebody. And we all do. There's a lot of things I'm thankful for today. And I don't want to mention them because there's people's names in it. And I just don't want to mention a bunch of names. But I'm glad to see certain people back in church. Amen? And you're happy to hear something good happening. But what's going to happen? Tribulation. Trial. I mean, all of the problems. You know, in America, we're like removed from a lot of that. But what about our brethren? Not everything turns out good in this life. Thank God there's another life. Amen? And we can trust the Lord for that. Remember them. Remember them that are in bonds as being bound with them. That's what God says for us to do. I think it's so important for us to do that. A prayer list. I don't know. Just whatever it takes for you to pray. There's so many things that I would like to mention, but I can't mention names. I don't want to mention names. But we need to pray one for another. Just remember what time it is. Amen? It's time to serve the Lord. Our days are getting smaller before the Lord comes back. He could come back today. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for giving us an understanding of the times. Thank you, Lord, that we can see things happening. And thank you that we're going to be gone before other things become evident. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us who are blessed to be a blessing to others that need a blessing right now. Bless your precious word, and God will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.